It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
No breaks,
no breaks,
no fear,
no fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along in this week's episode. British Speedway back on Eurosport, and the Birmingham Brummies get their first win of the season.
And the Birmingham team have won up against the odds. That's a huge moment.
Full reaction on the way from riders and management, including Sam Omalenko.
The riders have been building up to this thing, just to this level, I think. And I said a couple times since we left Leicester the other day, I seen something.
It went all the way to Heat 15, and even then there was drama and controversy. We hear from two riders involved, Piotr Pawlicki and Brady Kurtz.
I don't know, he touched me when we come to the corner, so I think this decision is good.
I was in the race trying to do the best I could, and some days it doesn't go your way.
Our main guest in this week's episode is new signing for the Kings Lynn Stars and former Oxford Spire, Nikolai Klint.
Got the phone call and I couldn't really believe it. I thought he was joking, kind of thing, to start with, because I was sort of speechless.
Much more from Nikolai Klint to come in the second part of this podcast. And in the third part, we hear from Kelvin Tatum, his thoughts on Monday's fixture. And of course, reaction to the Grand Prix, which saw Jack Holder of the Sheffield Tigers claim top spot in the opening Grand Prix of the year in Croatia. All that and more to come in this week's episode of British Speedway's official podcast, No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. Starting off at Perry Bar then, as the Birmingham Brummies edged out the Bellevue Aces 47-43 in a thrilling televised Roe Motor Oil Premiership clash on Monday night, and it came down to a dramatic conclusion.
And Tom Brennan and Piotr Pawlicki, they're going to be heroes tonight. They come through in flying colours in the restart of Heat 15, and the Birmingham team have won up against the odds. That's a huge moment in the context of the season for the Birmingham team. They've been a desperate start. They've been a patched-up team every week. They got a 4-1-7 tonight. Huge pressure the Bellevue Aces applied. And when it really counted, they came through. Brilliant stuff. Congratulations to them.
So with the scores level at 42 apiece, Aces skipper Brady Kurtz was disqualified from Heat 15 as he attempted to pass home star Piotr Pawlicki, with the pole taking a heavy fall. Also still a chance for Dan Bewley in the rerun to keep the scores tied and set up a superheat, but Tom Brennan and Pawlicki were the Brummies' heroes, racing to that 5-1 to give their side a much-needed first win of the campaign. Brennan got 9+2, Pawlicki with 8+2, the top scorers for the Brummies, for a solid scoring home team all round, whilst Brady Kurtz scored 11+1 for the visitors. Brennan also collected the first Omologato Rider of the Meeting award as well, and he spoke to Scott Nichols afterwards.
Yeah, that's been a long time coming for sure. You know, everybody has been working really hard for that. The management, the riders, everybody wants the same thing, right? And for us to finally do it tonight against a very, very strong Bellevue was perfect, really.
Definitely. So were you boys feeling the pressure before the meeting, or was it kind of the pressure was taken off because you'd had a bit of a slow start to the season?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, you know, we kind of come into the year with pretty sort of low expectations, if I'm honest. It was sort of like we kind of knew it was like our first year in the league, and we had to kind of build our way up. And then as we sort of started losing, the kind of pressure became more and more. But we were kind of that close, you know, every single time, as obviously you know, being a part of the team. And for us to do it tonight feels amazing, really.
And also, what does a meeting like tonight do for your confidence and the team? You're beating GP star Dan Bewley twice now tonight.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I think I mentioned my last interview. None of us really kind of care who it is. Same as you know, you kind of rock up and you have three guys next to you, and you want to beat everybody. So for us to kind of put a performance against, as you say, some Grand Prix riders. Brady's been in some fantastic form, same as Norrick and Jamin, and everybody's been going very well. So you know, for us to come here at home and obviously try and make the home fans proud.
It took a little while to get there, but finally the Brummies have their first home win of the season on the board. And a sense of relief not only for the fans, but for the management team as well. Here's Samer Malenko and Chris Adams.
Well, Samer Malenko, I'm going to start with yourself. How much of a relief is that to get the first win for Birmingham?
Yeah, it's you know, it hasn't really sunk in yet, other than I called my mom and she's been waiting for a win, so that kind of felt a little emotional. But all in all, it's like the Riders have been building up to this thing, just to this level, I think. And I said a couple times since we left Leicester the other day, I seen something. I seen there's some hope in all this now. I seen our guys are trying. They're actually figuring it out that they want to win. You know, they're tired of where they're at. And coming here today, I said to Chris, and he's alongside of me, and hopefully he's going to have the same thing. We knew the spark's there now, and we just got to manage a well-groomed team for tonight.
And Chris, it could have been so easy the way Bellevue fought back. Everyone thought with their big name hitters going out in that Heat 15 as well, they thought everything was going into their favour. But brilliant stuff from Tom and Piotr in Heat 15.
Well, Bellevue, they're a very strong team, aren't they, really? It doesn't matter where they're riding against. But Tom stepped up to the plate. You know, we knew he had it in him. Backed up by Piotr. So, yeah, I think good win for the boys.
How much more pleasing is it as well, Sam, the fact that every single rider has contributed to that win?
That made our job hard because we were thinking what we're going to do towards the end. And we had to make some pretty hard decisions. And we also had to back up our decisions on whether they didn't pursue and get an advantage in Heat 15, we're going to go to a super heat. And what are we going to do then? It's really good to know that we have a selection. Now, we know there's still room for improvement, but the thing is right now they're a team. They're starting to work together now, and it's really enjoyable to be hanging out with them now.
Yeah, and Chris, mainly from the outside, there have been a lot of knockers on social media, as you usually get when you've been on a run of results like that. But from inside the club, you knew you were still to get your full 1-7 out on track as well. And like you said, like you've both said, there was a lot of full belief in that team you had initially put together.
Well, we've got faith in the team. We've had a good start to the season, and to be fair, we've had our last two home meetings. You know, haven't gone the way that we wanted. The last one was called early on. You know, maybe we might have turned that around. I'd have gone ahead a little bit more. So, yeah, a good win for us tonight. So we've got something to build on, and then we'll see what Kings Lynn brings on Thursday.
Yeah, and Sam, a quick word on that if we can as well. Like you say, important in a way now that you do build on it and make sure that this isn't just a one-off in this short spell.
Well, you know, we're still gathering a lot of different things behind each rider, which we focus on those things a bit. You know, there's mechanical sides of things. There's just all kinds of different things that we had to address. We're going now with a different lineup because the averages have come out, so we got to kind of think about that. We just got to see. I mean, Pietro showed me that he's capable to be a good number one. He can be our number one now, but you know, they still are trying to work out getting the best bikes from the European guys that are here, and that's difficult because their tuners are in Poland, and so we're still trying to make sure we don't slip up.
The big talking point then was that decision in Heat 15, a collision between Brady Kurtz and Piotr Pawlicki. Let's hear from both of the riders concerned and get their respective views on it, starting with Pawlicki with Scott Nichols.
How did you see that decision?
I don't know. He touched me when we come to the corner, so I think this decision is good. That's it, yeah.
It's been a tough start the season for Birmingham, but tonight they got their first win. You're obviously excited to be back in the UK. What made you choose to race in the UK again?
Yeah, I'm very happy to back here. I need UK, I think so. This is good school, Speedway. So when I want a better race, I think I must race in England. This is different Speedway, like in in Sweden, in Poland, so you can learn technique, and we have more contact here. So, yeah, I think that was good decision, and I hope this meeting we start, you know, win and more points we have, another next meetings, yeah.
Well, Brady, just how disappointing is that to be the first side to lose to Birmingham here tonight?
Yeah, never nice. But I guess they've got their whole team now, and they're not a terrible team, that's for sure. They got a lot of good guys, a few top riders, and, yeah, we haven't been fantastic away. We've been great at home, but looking to make some improvements, I guess.
I was going to say, are there any major concerns by the early season form on the road?
No, I don't think so. We're terrible at the start of every year, so this year's no different. I think we're off to a better start than the last couple of years, so we'll be fine. We've got a strong team, and a couple of the boys will pull it all together and get dialed in, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, obviously tonight as well, the boys did fight back a little bit as well, went down to that last heat decider. You were the man on the wrong end of the decision in heat 15. What's your take on it?
At the end of the day, it's not my decision to make. I was in the race trying to do the best I could, and some days it doesn't go your way.
Yeah, nevertheless, you were unbeaten at that point as well. You must be delighted with how your season has got started individually.
Yeah, super good. It's been the best start to any year I've ever had, that's for sure. And now the job is to keep it going, I think, and that'll be harder than what's been already. So, I'll keep taking it week by week, and, hopefully a good season's coming.
And when you consider the Premiership overall has strengthened up this year, does that make it even more pleasing for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Every team's so tough now, and to have some good results is always nice, and bikes are working great, and when things are all in place, it's a nice situation to be in.
Yeah, from the Aces' point of view as well, back home next Monday in the return against Birmingham. The National Speedway Stadium is a fortress for the Aces, and you'll be looking to respond in big style.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be looking for a massive home win. I think we're definitely going to need that to put us back on track. And day meetings are always a little bit tricky, but the track's been great there, and we'll be looking to get back to form.
It's Brady Kurtz talking to Ryan Guest after that loss for the Bellevue Aces at Perry Bar. Let's hear now from Dan Bewley. He spoke to Abby Stevens on Eurosport, and it hasn't been an ideal weekend for him, and let Dan explain why.
Yeah, I actually was. Yeah, it was a bit of not the greatest of weekends, but GP didn't. Yeah, just been a trying weekend. Just out cycling yesterday, nice and easy. I was pretty sore already, and got swiped by a car. But we're all good, actually. That's no excuse. Feel fine. I know a lot of fans expect a lot more of me at Bellevue, and I know I'm capable of a lot more. And working hard, just haven't really been there. Haven't had the feeling, but tried a hell of a lot tonight. And pretty disappointed in myself in Heat 15. You know, I made the start in the rerun and should have probably clamped them, but didn't. But it's been a while since I made a start, if I'm honest, so a bit out of touch. But it's sort of coming together, and I feel like we're in a good spot now, and just looking forward to the rest of the season.
Dan, how do you make that switch then? Because you're outstanding. You know the quality you've got. You've won three Grand Prix, and you're just such an exciting talent. So people, like you say, expect so much. But when you feel disappointed in yourself, how do you make that switch around?
Just that's what it is. We're just working hard to fix it, and I feel like we are getting there. We're getting there slowly, but just little things, and it's been tough, but at the same time, I feel like we're nearly there, and in a good spot for the rest of the season.
Dan, thank you for chatting. Rest up, keep well, no more injuries, please.
No, we're all good to go, so we'll see you on Monday at Bellevue.
Yeah, we'll explain the full fixture picture ahead very soon. Let's go back to last week, because that was the only fixture on Monday in the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership. Back to last Thursday, and Sam Masters scored a paid maximum as Leicester moved to the top of the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership table at the time with a 53-37 win over Birmingham. The Lions took advantage of the postponement of the Ipswich-Sheffield fixture to leapfrog their lot rivals, and they also collected the aggregate bonus point as well following their victory at Perry Bar last week. Sam Masters with 13+2 was unbeaten from five rides. Captain Max Frick notched 13+1 as he dropped his only point to Vaclav Milik in heat number one. Milik was one of four race winners for the Brummies, who were only 4 points adrift after heat eight, but they conceded 2 5-1s in the last three races. Captain Steve Worrell top scored for the Brummies with 8+1. Here's the Leicester team manager, Stuart Dixon, with Dave Rowe.
Stuart, thoughts overall? Birmingham certainly had a go first half of the meeting, but eventually you hit these were winning races again, and it was fairly convincing.
It was in the end when you look at the scoreline, David, you know, 53-37. I did say that MD would listen to before the start of the meeting that Birmingham would score more tonight than they did in their home match. I know it was curtailed after 12 races, but I know they've got riders that can ride this place for guys for the championship. So all in all, but from my perspective, from a Leicester point of view, we've got the 3 points that were on offer. As you say, you know, Max Fricks and Masters really strong at the top end. And we thoroughly deserved it, yeah.
These top boys are getting really dominant now to this track, aren't they? You've had similar conditions for a couple of weeks and they're regularly winning races.
Well, we'll find out next week if they're dialed in as much as we think. But yes. No, certainly, Sam and Max, obviously, night. Dougie, with the tapes thing, he got excluded. Was, you know, Richard Lawson looked to get 7 points, but Richard said it's a poor seven. He wasn't pleased. Luke Becker, he'll get 4 paid 5, but he wants to score a lot more. I get that. We still, as I said in the interview, we still don't have all seven clicking yet. Next week, I think we need to have certainly 6 out of 7 on forum to beat Ipswich, who've been a bit of a bogey side for us in the Premiership. So we're gearing up for them for next Thursday, that's for sure.
Are you happy with that top five in the order they're in, or are you thinking about that again before next week? Is that, you obviously ran with Becker at 2 tonight and Lawson at 4, is that what you'll go forward with, or still to think about that?
I'm still to think about that. I just actually done a change just for change's sake, thinking maybe a different role. Luke would get the gate, inside gates off of heat 1, hoping he would go off to a flyer and it would get his confidence up. It never panned out that, unfortunately, due to the fact that Valt Milik popped out and won the race. Fair play to him. So that sort of best plans were gone in that respect. We need to get him going. You know, you can see he's a bit down about it now, but he's too good a rider not to get him going. You know, I mean, I think it's a matter of time. I don't have any worries about him at the moment, though.
We're seeing a few signs from Drew Kemp, obviously 2 race wins. He was a bit unlucky on the outside a couple of times as well when he ended up coming last. But obviously, if Dougie touched the tapes and you can bring in Drew Kemp and he wins the race, that's probably quite a good sign.
I think it was the call, because obviously the track was a bit slicker, you know what I mean? Drew popping out winning the race was good. I think he was unlucky. I think he'd gate 4 3 times or something. Wasn't the most conducive for scoring. And I think 8 points, we can't even criticise. I know he got an extra couple of rides here and there, but overall, he should be happy with his night's work, yeah.
So there's Stuart Dixon. The other fixture last Thursday was at Cowley, Oxford, racing to a hard-fought 47-43 home win over the Kings Lynn Stars. Exactly the same scoreline as in their previous 2 Row Motor Oil Premiership victories at Cowley. Seems to be a thing at the minute. The Spires had to come from behind as the Stars led for much of the first half of the meeting, with the hosts only hitting the front for the first time in Heat 10. It was a key 5-1 from Eric Riss and Rowan Tungate in Heat 14 to make it 44-40, meaning the Stars needed a maximum 5-1 in the last race to level things up. But although Tobias Mujalak took the win, Ben Cook, who was guesting on the night, was kept at the back by Tungate and Scott Nichols. Tungate with 13+1 and Nichols 10+1 led the way for the Spires, with Mujalak racking up 15+1 for the visitors, who were left frustrated by the disqualification of Niels Christian Iversen after a clash with Charles Wright in Heat 12. Something that manager Rob Lyon picks up on in this interview with Robin Allen.
Bit of a tough one to take?
A little bit. I mean, it was a better performance from us after the last outing at Sheffield last week. We were depleted then. We were a depleted team tonight with RR and obviously in guests. But Ben Cook did an admirable job for us. And, you know, it was a better performance. A little bit frustrating that we lost out, I think. I didn't feel we deserved to lose tonight. I thought we probably should have edged it. What the referee was looking at in Heat 12, I have no idea. But that turned the match for us, and we often say referees are the 8th men, you know, and he's got his right to his opinion on what he saw, but you know, whether he looked at the monitor, I don't know. I asked him to look at it, but he put the white light on so quickly, he clearly hadn't looked at that point. But you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. But apart from that, I was really pleased with the team as a whole, and we move on from here, but it was a better performance overall.
And in terms of the team, obviously, Toby at number one, doing the number one's job and getting 15-1.
Yeah, I mean, he's settled in now and he's getting dialed in, and his last 2 performances have been more like what we'd expect and what he would expect of himself as a number one. And so no issues there at all. Like I say, it was a battling team performance, so I can't really fault the boys in that respect. Sometimes we often say, you know, referee decisions can turn a match, and it clearly did that tonight.
And in terms of, even you look at the reserves and Patrick, he's done his average, and again, for someone like him, he's never seen the track before, and he did pretty well.
Yeah, he did okay, you know. It's the first time he's been here, as you said, and he's just trying to settle in with different bikes, different setups. On tracks, obviously, he's not going to have seen before. So, yeah, he did okay. That's the first bad one Anders has had, although he had a great ride in his second heat. Before Bomber picked him on the last lap. But, you know, he's had a good start to the season apart from tonight. And so, overall, it was a better performance. So, something to sort of build on from here.
And do you think, in some ways, obviously, you had to use rider replacement too, but the fact that you were able to use it in quite a tactical way as such tonight and your choice of riders at vital times?
Yeah, I think it worked quite well tonight. I mean, having it at two, I think, always gives you a lot more options. And gate positions tonight, as they always are, really, but were quite crucial. And it worked out pretty good for us. I think we got paid 10 from RR, so that was a good return. And I think it shows that we got paid 10 from RR, we got 9 from Ben Basso's rides. And I think it shows that, you know, if those two riders had been with us, it shows that this team's not far away. It's not far away. It was a good performance tonight, so I'm happy in that respect, but frustrated that we actually bombed out in the end.
And positive vibes going into your home fixture next up?
Yeah, Birmingham at home next week. It's on our home track, a meeting we'd like to win next week and get a season off, get some points on the board.
And it's nice the fact that you're welcoming back Nicolai Clint into the fold. And yeah, it's a bit of an interesting sort of thing, obviously, being let go by Oxford, but it's worked in your favour that you're welcoming back at King's Lynn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, obviously Oxford have their reasons why they've let him go, and he became available, and so we snapped him up, given what had happened with Vadim Tarasenko. So, yeah, it sort of fits. He's happy to come back, and hopefully it's a successful return for him.
And we'll hear from Nicolai Clint himself on this podcast, a full interview with him in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear. Looking ahead at the fixtures coming up then in the Row Motor All Premiership on Thursday, King's Lynn in action against Birmingham. That starts at 7:30. We've got Leicester versus Ipswich and Sheffield versus Oxford. Sheffield welcoming back victorious Grand Prix winner, currently leading the World Championship, Jack Holder, in that one as well against the Oxford Spires. So that's Thursday's outlook. And then looking ahead to Monday in the Row Motor Oil Premiership, it's the Bellevue Aces versus the Birmingham Brummies. That is a 12 p.m. start, lunchtime. It's Bank Holiday Monday, so the traditional 12 o'clock start at the National Speedway Stadium for that one. Ipswich versus King's Lynn gets underway at Foxhall at 2:15 for that one, the old local derby. You might call it the old farm derby. Certainly that's what I call it. And then Oxford versus Leicester at 7:30 at Oxford Stadium. That one will be on BSN on Monday night. So no Eurosport this Monday, BSN this Monday, Eurosport back the following Monday. But Oxford versus Leicester will be on at 7:30 from the Row Motor Oil Premiership. And that rounds up everything that's happening over the next week or so at the top flight level of British Speedway. Coming next then, we'll hear from the man we were just talking about. Nicolai Clint joins us on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
So in this part, we chat to our special guest in this week's episode. And it's been a funny old week or two for Nicolai Clint. First of all, finding himself out of the lineup at the Oxford Spires. And then, due to Vadim Tarasenko quitting his position with the King's Lynn Stars, heading back to his former club. And Nicolai is with us now. Nicolai, welcome along. Good to have you with us. Well, let's start with the obvious sort of elephant in the room, really. What happened at Oxford? Was this a situation that you saw coming, or was it a bit of a surprise?
I wasn't expecting I would find a new club so soon. Obviously, knowing that averages change in May, there would be a possibility, obviously depending on how riders are doing for other teams. But I was just sitting cool and waiting for the door to open. But like you said, like after four meetings, it was very unexpected. Not only by myself, but from many others that already was released by Oxford. And even though it's in the past, I still can't really get my head around why, other than scored paid for at home to Ipswich, which was the meeting we lost. But yeah, I didn't come up with any excuses or anything. I said, yeah, I wasn't good enough, and I'm still trying to work through this and change some things for the next meeting, which never came.
Yeah, so as you mentioned there, you were planning ahead for the next fixture. Talk us through that week then, and what happened to the point of where you find yourself receiving that call that you are out of the Oxford team.
So I spoke to my Indian tuner, Peter Johns, prior to the Ipswich home meeting, and obviously I explained my situation with struggling. And from my own accord, it's not with confidence or anything. It's due to too much power in my motorbikes, especially when the weather is colder and the tracks are slicker. I was struggling to get grip and obviously traction. And we were talking about it, and we made some slight adjustments for the meeting coming up. And if that wasn't better, we was going to make further adjustments. And my gating haven't been too good, so me and my mechanic, Paul, we made some changes there as well. And yeah, went into the Ipswich meeting like confident, you know. And even though it didn't start off very well with the last, because I nearly spun around on myself in the first corner, didn't go into the next heat with our head down. Made a bad start and finished last. So that was sort of the start of that meeting, and I finished off with a paid second, where I personally felt I was quicker than Rowan, which is who's very, very quick around Oxford at the minute. And then I got passed by Danny King by lap two, I think it was, after making the start. So yeah, it wasn't perfect, but there was positives and there was things to take forward. So after the first day meeting, I flew to Poland, had a great practice, and then I raced in Poland on a Sunday and scored 14. Spoke to Peter on the Sunday, explained him the situation, that I was going to try and obviously change my equipment to suit the Oxford track better and bring some different engines over from Europe, which I hoped and believed would suit Oxford better. But as I also said, like, we got Ipswich coming up where I ride well. We got Bellevue, Sheffield, Leicester. I tend to score well there. So just to let you know, I'm trying to find my feet around Oxford. So that was not a problem. And then, yeah, Monday night came, and I was out with my mates having dinner and got the phone call. And I couldn't really believe it. I thought he was, joking kind of thing to start with, because I was sort of speechless. But I was told it wasn't his decision. It was further up, and they had the reasons for why they wanted to let me go.
Four meetings in, and I think it was a surprise to a lot of people that they made the change really at the earliest possible opportunity. Eric Riss has done an interview, and he said that he feels, you know, a level of sympathy for you of finding yourself in that situation. But Speedway does become a bit of a merry-go-round as things go, with riders moving in and moving out. Would you rather that riders were given more time? I know they've got 25% of the season before they can make changes, but would you rather that riders have more time to prove themselves before changes can be made?
It's difficult to say, because like, I wasn't expecting to be dropped after four meetings, but to sort of give riders, not because I'm expecting to get dropped next season either, but like, I think for anyone, to give them until May, you know, unless there's injuries or anything, because the weather makes a massive, massive difference in how the bikes are reacting. Like on Sunday Saturday in Poland, sorry, was the first time I rode this year where it was over 20. All my other meetings have been below 15 degrees, and it's just difficult to get traction, you know. And like you said about preparation and stuff, like we had press day in Oxford, where the track was completely different to how it'd been any other home meetings we rode, and I felt really good at press day and thought, this is gonna suit me very well. In Poland, before my first league meeting, I had one practice on my home track, one practice in Poland. Everything else had been cancelled. I was fortunate enough. I did an open meeting in Germany, a practice, 2 day practice in Germany, and two day practice in Slovakia. Other than that, I hadn't been on the bike, because everywhere we was meant to go in Poland was either rained off or cancelled due to bad track conditions. So it has been difficult, like Nils said. I know it's the same for everyone, because there's other riders that has been out practicing. And yes, I could have gone to work and to practice with other riders, for instance, but I haven't been in a position where I could do that, because I've been in Poland, for instance, you know. So going back to your question, yes, I do believe there should be like a time period where you can make changes, not just because it's happened to me, but in general. Like I said to Peter as well, it's not the first time I've been sacked after four meetings, so I'm not going to lose any sleep. But I'm older and wiser now, and it's easier for me to move forward.
Let's talk about the weather and the role the weather plays, because this is an important thing. I think some fans, or many fans perhaps, don't realise the role the air temperature plays with the Speedway engine. And we've seen fairly cold conditions so far, and that actually can make engines perform worse. Just talk to us about that, because that magic figure of 15 degrees, the weather's warming up now. Could we see potentially riders' performances improving a lot as we get now towards some warmer weather in Britain?
Yeah, they do, for sure. And the thing with Speedway is that the bikes create a lot of power. So just a couple of degrees can change the amount of horsepower the bike has. When it's colder, the track surface are colder, the tires are colder, you get less grip, there's more moisture in the track. When it gets colder, obviously it comes up to the surface, which makes the track slicker and stuff, you know. So the first part of the season, I would say I often struggle due to having too much power in my bikes. When it gets a little bit warmer or normal temperatures, then I sort of get going, you know. And I spoke to Steve Worrell yesterday, I think it was, and he said, like, for him it's pretty usual to sort of struggle a little bit in the start of the season, then come good late spring until early autumn, and then when it get autumn again and then cold, then he's struggling, because he can't seem to kill his bikes enough to get traction, you know. So you often see that, and you can't really measure a rider on how he's doing in the first month of the season, because the season is 7-8 months, you know. So you got to sort of look at the bigger picture, and in that case, I also mentioned that to Jamie when I signed the contract, and I mentioned it to Peter when I spoke to him on the phone, that I am disappointed, not that I wasn't given more time, but I was disappointed that they didn't believe in me, especially when they looked at my scores, which I have sent them both, or they both know of, sorry, over the winter, that after 8 meetings, I believe it was, I started picking up points, and I had a really, really good mid-season end to the season. And talking about weather, that happened in the start of May. So, you know, It is what it is, and I'm very happy at where I am now.
Yeah, and where you are now is back at King's Lynn. Of course, you were there last season and a bit of the season before, and you've ridden there a number of times over the course of your career, of course, and now you're back in a place that you know well, you know the promotion well, you know the team manager, and you know many of your teammates, because there's a good, strong Danish presence, as we'll touch on in a moment. And also, they've made some improvements as well in terms of the track, haven't they? There are some big alterations into the surface there, so it may well ride a little different, but hopefully better for everyone and better racing.
What I heard, obviously I haven't been there, I'm going Wednesday to practice, but I've heard that they took the all the shale and material from Peterborough and even the old material that was underneath and put it on the track, so it's a more shale based track rather than a clay based track, which obviously they use for the stock cars and also speedway in the past. And even when I came in 2022, I started off pretty good. You know, I think I didn't have a home meeting where I scored under paid 11. And it's a track I enjoy. It's a special track because it got so much grip in it. And hopefully with me coming in, we can turn things around. They haven't had a win yet. They were very close in Oxford to get the win there. Very unfortunate with Nils crashing out in heat 12, I believe. But Rob, again, one of the best team managers in the league, I believe. And it's just... like we talked about before, with my own form last year coming good in start mid-May, and we're sort of in the same boat here. But luckily, they've only done a couple of meetings. And
injuries have played a part already with Kingsley, haven't they? It's been a... you need luck, I think, sometimes. And that's just something that Kingsley, it seems, just don't have in terms of injuries. And Benjamin Basso's taken another knock at the weekend, and I'm not sure where he's at with potentially with concussion, so he might be out for a few more days yet. But I think Nils Christian Iversen is coming back, so it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? But that certainly has not helped Kings Lynn, despite all promising signs once again. And I know it's you know, early doors, four meetings in, I think, but still now some points to make up to get off the bottom.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, with the luck, like you could just look at last year, all the things that happened and the luck we didn't have, you know. But we obviously... we got Vaim who's quit, and I've come in to replace, and Basso, hopefully he'll be back for Thursday. I don't know what the situation is there, but I do believe generally that they have a good team. Like Patrick needs a few more meetings, obviously. Luckily he's at reserve, but he did good at Oxford, a track he's never been to before. I know he's having another practice before Thursday's meeting too, so what we missed last year was out and out number one. Like I start the season as number one, but I couldn't even score points as a second string rider, you know, so it makes things much, much tougher. And this year we got Toby, who is out and out number one. He was number one for the majority of the season at Sheffield, where you had Jack Holder, number three in the world in 2023. So that says something, you know. And I believe with us being very strong in the middle order, with me, Basso, and Nils, it is going to turn into some points home and away.
And it further strengthens that Danish connection as well that Kings Lynn have got. I almost said Peterborough then, but that Kings Lynn have got, because you've got that. It is obviously there's a big connection with Peterborough from the previous season. It's not only the track that's come across, of course. There's a few riders made the move as well. And I think when I was talking to Nils Christian Iversen a few weeks ago, we were saying about how there was a good sort of Danish hub there, but that's been further now enhanced with yourself as well. So you're all riders that have obviously spent a lot of time together over the years.
Yeah, like Nils, I've been really, really good mates with him since we first started riding together in 2008 at Wolverhampton. And I'll ride with him this year in Gdansk. Benjamin Basso, I've rode with in Denmark and Bornholm the last 2 years, so I know him very well. So it's a good little group of people, but it's nice to have Tobias in there as well. He's such a nice guy, and he's a team rider too. He doesn't just ride for himself, so it's a good mix, I think. We'd probably be a little bit under we will go a little bit under the radar, but you saw them going to Oxford with Ben Cook as a guest and ride a replacement for Vadim, and then they nearly beat Oxford, you know. So I think there's good things coming up, and like me coming back to a place that I feel good at. I get on with Luke, the track man. We work very hard to satisfy everyone on the team last year. and Buster as well, I've known for years. So it's nice for me to be somewhere where I feel comfortable.
You've had to wait a little bit for your debut, for the new averages to kick in the new month, but you make your debut on Thursday against Birmingham. Now, were you watching did you see the meeting on Monday night? Yeah. Birmingham getting that first win on the board. So they've now got a bit of wind in their sails. Some people will say, well, certainly Birmingham fans or Birmingham riders will say that it's been coming, that they've been close. And maybe, as you mentioned before, you know, you need a bit of time for everything to fully bed in. And then they've beaten Bellevue, which is quite a statement victory.
Yeah, 100%, because Bellevue have been so good at the start of the season, and they're being led from the front by Brady, who has been outstanding everywhere he's been riding this year. I think Birmingham actually surprised a lot of people in the start of the year, going to Oxford, nearly beating them, and they nearly went to Ipswich, nearly beating them. And they was out in the last heat decider with Sheffield at home in the first meeting. So you can't knock them. And like they said on the TV last night, Monday, sorry. It's only the second time that they had it 1-7, you know. And Piotr Pawlicki, it was only his second meeting, I believe, at home. Milik have had some issues, so I think they're gonna come good later in the year. But again, we gotta take advantage of being at home, and then getting back on the feet again, knocking back on the feet again, instead of them being in there after the victory they got over Bellevue.
Did you see obviously it came down to a bit of a controversial incident in some respects, which I think is a bit of a 50-50 call for many fans about excluding Brady Kurtz with Pawlicki in that overtake. Personally, I thought the referee got it right, but what did you see it? What did you think?
Yeah, I think he got it right as well, but you can look at it two ways, because you also have had riders who's been excluded being in Piotr's position, because he passes Brady, and Brady obviously goes wide to build up speed and then makes a cutback, which makes him go much faster than Piotr into the corner. Piotr goes out to the fence to close the door and then comes back in again, knowing where Brady is going to come. And you could look at it in the way of saying Piotr is seeking the contact. Brady is sticking to his line, you know. But then again, you also gotta say, ask yourself who's caused the stoppage, and that's Brady, because he comes underneath Piotr. So it was a tough decision, especially in heat 15 where everything was on the line. But like Brady said as well in the interview, he had to go for it because it was win or lose.
I think it would have been more harsh to have excluded Pawlicki, because that would have really changed the game.
No, that's true.
You know, and I think that would have you could see it from either side, but I think people see that because Brady was marginally in front going into that bend that he had the advantage, but that's not actually a rule, is it? It's to do with contact, and it's all down to referee's discretion at the end of it, I think.
Yeah, it is, and you always have two sides to a story, you know, and two views to a situation like that. And yes, you could say, oh, Brady was in front when the contact was made, but he was the one that came from behind. And the rule when I started riding was, if you're in front, you dictate the race. And that's what Nicky Pedersen always used to say when he was a little bit younger than he is now. Well, I was in front, so it's your choice if you want to show off or not. So that's sort of the way I look at it. Piotr was in front. Obviously, he had to cover his line. He don't want Brady to get past him, and Brady went for a gap that wasn't there at the end.
If you're in the same shoes as Brady Kurtz on Thursday, what move are you doing? Are you sticking to the same line as Brady, or are you going to try something different?
No, I think like Brady did the right thing. And also like how the track was last night, you didn't have many chances, and he sort of slipped up by moving off the white line in bend two, where Piotr came underneath him. Maybe I'll make sure I go a little bit faster so I don't end up touching him.
If you get out of the gate and clear off, all of these problems are behind you, aren't they, literally?
Yeah, exactly.
On the subject of Birmingham, though, you're facing them on your debut for King's Lynn on Thursday. Some big changes to the team there. Same personnel, of course, but with the new averages, Vaclav Milik drops all the way down the order from one straight down to number six. And a lot of people going, wow, that's going to change the game somewhat. What are your feelings on that?
It's definitely going to make them much, much stronger because you can take six rides, I believe, if not seven. So you never know if that's going to be the key for their success with Milik dropping down, because obviously you look at his scores previously, being at number one, and he's been struggling, but he's a class act, and he's rode at King's Lynn before, I believe, so he knows his way around there. So reserve, it is going to be tough. But then again, we got good reserves in Anders Roy, who beat Doyle there last year, I believe, and also Patrick. So it's going to be tough. Pavlicki is moving up to number one, and we all know being at number one is a bit harder than being number five. And he's up against Toby, so I'm pretty sure that Toby can take care of him.
And generally for you, obviously it's not been the ideal start in British Speedway for you personally, but hopefully now better times are ahead starting on Thursday. But overall, what's your assessment of where British Speedway is currently sitting in Europe? Because we've seen some big stars coming back, like Pavlicki being one example. Obviously, a former teammate of yours now, Yanofsky, back in British Speedway. And obviously, Jack Holder, as you mentioned, winner of the first Grand Prix of the year as well. So he's off to a great start. You know, there's no shortage of top talent now.
No, there isn't. And I think the stuff that they've done behind the scenes is much, much better than it was last year. But it all takes time. And it's been a good thing with Phil coming in to sort of be in a director of everything. They got league sponsors, which they haven't had since Sky Sports was covering the league, you know, where it was called Sky Sports Elite League. Creating more press. The press day, media day we had at Manchester was great. And you could also see on Monday the stuff behind the scenes in the pits, everything. It's got up another level. And I would dare to say that they're actually, not rider-wise, but like how everything is run through the meeting and stuff like that on the same level, it's not a little bit higher with Sweden. Sweden is great. It's a big league, got big names in there, but I think that Britain, with everything that they're trying to do, or Phil is trying to do as well, they're pushing them pretty hard at the minute.
You've had to wait for your debut for the King's Lynn Stars, but May is here, and May is set to be a busy month. I think seven fixtures for you in all, starting with Birmingham on Thursday, Bank Holiday Monday, you're away at Ipswich, then you've got Leicester at home the following Thursday, the 9th, then away at Birmingham to Perry Bar, home against Sheffield, away at the National Speedway Stadium, and then you've got Ipswich on the 23rd of May. So the next few weeks, pretty busy.
Yeah, and thick and fast for me. I've had a few days off now and practice at King's Lynn. King's Lynn Thursday, practice Poland Friday, Poland Sunday. And then, like you said, we had Ipswich on the Monday. And then I got 4 days of racing in a row after that as well. So it's going to be good. It's going to be nice for me personally to get on the bike a bit more often and a bit more frequent through the week, you know. But also with King's Lynn, it's important time over the next 2 or 3 weeks to really hit hard and get going from the start of May to catch up some points. We've only done, I think, four meetings so far. And I think we've got two meetings a week over the next month or so. So there's lots of opportunities to get some points along the way.
Good stuff. And look, you know, the weather's starting to perk up now, getting a bit warmer, so that might make the engines work a bit better, eh?
Yeah, I hope so. But like, even when you look at that, like it is meetings that we can get points in. I know Ipswich are very, very strong at home, so that's probably going to be the toughest task. But Birmingham at home, Leicester at home, Birmingham away is places where we should pick up wins. And against opponents, we should pick up wins. I know Leicester are strong. But they were strong last year, and with the team King's Lynn had last year, we ran them close at home, so I can't see why we can't beat them this year.
And as you mentioned earlier, Leicester is a track that you personally go well at. I think in that pairs meeting last year, you pretty much single-handedly dragged Kingsland through that, didn't you, to the latter stages?
Obviously, I'm good mates with Sam Master, so I gave him a bit of stick. I said, I'm a bit shocked that me on my own can beat the whole of Wolverhampton. Obviously, there are three riders who raced the heat, and he didn't find it funny.
Well, that's now his home track as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but he is doing very well. I saw he got a paid maximum at home to Birmingham, so I think he's found a bit faster way around than he did at the pace.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Well, look, yeah, cheers, Nikolai, for chatting with us and talking about your side of the story and everything as well with regards Oxford. But then all the best for King's Lynn when that gets underway later this week.
Thank you very much, Ian. Thank you.
Nikolai Clint, now of the King's Lynn Stars. And you can see Nikolai in action, as we mentioned, first of all, on Thursday, as King's Lynn race at the Adrian Flux Arena at home against Birmingham in the Rowe Motor Oil Premiership. And then on Bank Holiday Monday, 2:15 start at Ipswich in that little local derby there, the Norfolk-Suffolk clash. And then he's back at home against Leicester the following Thursday, the 9th. And so it goes. But best of luck to Nikolai in his new surroundings, even if they are fairly familiar. Still to come then on No Breaks, No Fear. In the next part, we'll hear from Kelvin Tatum, his reaction to Monday's Rowe Motor Oil Premiership clash as the Birmingham Brummies got that first win on the board. We'll hear from Kelvin next.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
So British Speedway is back on Eurosport and Discovery Plus, and the Grand Prix season, of course, resumed last week as well, with Jack Holder of the Sheffield Tigers currently leading the World Championships after the very first round. Ryan Guest has caught up with Kelvin Tatum, commentator for Eurosport and Discovery Plus, to get his reaction from that meeting on Monday as the Birmingham Brummies overcame the Bellevue Aces to get their first win on the board. And he knows how much it meant to the Brummies faithful.
Yes, it was a special moment for them. They've had a really tough start to the season, 1 point, and, you know, plenty of losses. So it was a sense of relief, I think. It was almost like they'd won the league. But I can sympathise with that, you know, having such a poor start and a sense of frustration, everybody sort of not really getting together. A result like that could transform the season. So, yep, happy days for them last night. Really good.
Yeah, from Bellevue's perspective, obviously, the first side to lose to Birmingham this year, and that was already their third defeat on the road in this year's Rowe Motor Oil Premiership. Does that surprise you a little bit, and do you think there are any reasons to be concerned at this stage from an Aces perspective?
I think they would have been frustrated not to have won there. You know, when a team has been in such poor form, and you're one of the favourites for the league, and Bellevue are that, Mark Lemon and his men would have looked at that meeting, you know, to get something out of it. So to go home empty-handed, that would be quite hard to take. And I think Mark will be, you know, a little bit concerned about the fact that they haven't really done anything away from home. The home track, obviously, is fabulous, and they've got some specialists. But they haven't got consistency. They're a bit hit and miss away from home, and they need to rectify that. I don't think there'll be any panic stages because the league is wide open, actually, in truth. And nobody's really got a lot of consistency going at the moment. But they will need to resolve that.
Yeah, one man who has got consistency, though, Brady Kurtz, up until that Heat 15 disqualification at Birmingham on Monday. He'd gone unbeaten again from his programmed outings. I think that's 18 race wins out of 28 rides so far, and he's the league's current point scorer. How impressed have you been with his early season form in the UK, and do you think Brady's got what it takes this year to maintain those standards throughout the season moving forward?
I see no reason why not. I think he's been an underrated rider for a number of years. It surprised me that he hasn't made bigger progress on the world scene. He's an eye-catching rider. He's clearly very organised, and he looks like he's focused. Started the season like a house on fire, sometimes you'll go through a bit of a dip after such a fast start, but I sense that, you know, he's a mature rider now, doing a great job for the Bellevue Aces, and he's a genuine leader in that team, and that they will need to follow him. But very impressive, and for him, I think it's almost like he's coming of age this season. It's been very, it's been terrific to see, and the way he rides the bike as well. You know, from a fan perspective, just watching him, he's really good on the bike. So he's doing a great job.
Yeah, certainly is. Next up on Eurosport and Discovery Plus, Monday, May the 13th, and it's a repeat of last year's grand final as Sheffield host Ipswich at Ollerton Stadium. How much are you looking forward to that one, particularly with the two sets of riders that they're both tracking once again this year?
Well, what an eye-catching fixture that is. And I'm sure Ipswich, after the disappointment of not managing to get over the line when Sheffield remarkably came back from nowhere, the title. It was extraordinary last season, the way that panned out. Ipswich will be looking for some sort of revenge, I'm sure, and they will want to get something from it. But, you know, when you consider the names that are back in British Speedway, a lot of them are going to be there on that night, at that meeting. And I think that it should be a really healthy crowd. Let's hope the weather behaves. And I'd like to think it'll be a terrific meeting for us to cover on Eurosport. But, yeah, really looking forward to it. And I think, you know, it's a treat now for us to have, you know, that calibre of rider in the league now.
Moving on to a look back at the opening Grand Prix of the year last Saturday and a maiden triumph for Jack Holder. Just how impressed were you with the Australian in Croatia?
I've been pretty impressed with Jack Holder for a while, actually. He rode at times last year brilliantly and should have won a Grand Prix in 2023. When he had that fantastic, when Australia won the Speedway of Nations the previous season in Voyons, we saw all of a sudden what he was capable of. He sort of built on that last year. And for him to come out and ride like that in the opening round of the season in the Grand Prix this season was just part of his progression. It didn't surprise me. It's been overdue in lots of ways, but clearly delighted. And it could be that Jack Holder could be a genuine threat to Bartosz Szmalczyk. I hope so, because we want to see a real head-to-head battle.
Yeah, we certainly do. Obviously, you've mentioned Bartosz. He made the final, as did Jason Doyle and Freddie Lindgren. So three riders who made the final at that venue for a second season in succession. Do you think that's a sign of what's to come from those riders as well, this campaign? And do you expect all of those to be in the mix when we approach the latter stages later in the year?
I think certainly Bartosz Szmalczyk won't be too perturbed by not getting on the rostrum. He's a pretty cool customer. Freddie Lindgren, world number two, I expect him to be in the mix. Jason Doyle has been a bit hit and miss. It was quite extraordinary in the fact that Freddie Lindgren and Jason Doyle didn't win a race all night, but finished second and third overall, which was quite extraordinary, really. But they've got quality. They're veterans of the sport, so I expect them to understand exactly what's ahead of them. Jack Holder, yeah, I see no reason. If Jack Holder hadn't have broken his wrist last year, I sense he would have been in the first three in the World Championship anyway. So I don't see why not.
A word on the British boys now, if we can. Obviously, a desperately disappointing start to the series for both Ty Woffenden and Dan Bewley. And even though Robert Lambert opened with 12 World Championship points, did you sense that there was perhaps a slight bit of disappointment from his side, obviously dipping out in the semi-finals, having won three of his first four qualifying rides?
A missed opportunity, I would say, when you're riding that well and then not being able to get through to the final. And he'd see it like that, I'm sure, because he'd ridden really well as anybody, in truth, up until that point. So he'd reflect on that, and that's something he needs to rectify. When you're riding that well, you've got to make it work on the night. You've got to really seal the deal. And he didn't quite manage to do that. But nonetheless, 12 points, a solid start. All is not lost there. Regarding Bewley and Ty Woffenden, Woofy, I don't know. That is something that he will want to forget very quickly. Don't quite know what's going on there. Early season form for Sheffield has been decent. He hasn't been going that well in Poland. A couple of meetings there and it isn't really clicking. So that's concerning, I think. But for Bewley, I think again, a slow start to the season. I sense to turn it around, but they'll certainly need to get up to speed very quickly.
Yep, certainly. So a quick summary on the new additions to this year's lineup as well, especially Kai Hückenbeck and Dominic Cabrera. Were you more than encouraged by what you saw from those two in particular?
Yeah, they did well, and they did well in qualifying as well. All five newcomers were in the top 10 on the qualifying times, and so they did really well there. And I think that Hückenbeck has clearly made a huge effort through the winter. Looks like a racing snake, rode really well, held his own. Cabrera did a nice job as well. Wozniak, obviously, he'll be looking to go a little bit better. Yankovic, it will be a tough season for him. He's inexperienced at this level, of course. But they all gave their very best. Consistency is so key over 11 rounds. And that's what they will need to find if they want to be a Grand Prix rider in 2025. But I think for the opening round, it looked pretty encouraging. And, you know, some of the riders they're replacing have got good CVs. So they've got some big boots to fill. But for Hückenbeck and Cabrera, I think they'd be pretty happy with their opening Grand Prix.
Yeah, and before we leave it there, obviously round two, of course, on May the 11th in Warsaw in Poland. And with everything that goes with it, it is always one of the most highly anticipated events on the calendar, isn't it?
Yeah, you could argue it's the biggest Grand Prix on the calendar with the stadium and the attendance. Incredibly, a Polish rider hasn't won there. I'm just wondering whether the weight expectation does weigh heavy on them. I think it probably does. It's a fabulous track and stadium, capital city of the number one country in World Speedway. It's an exciting Grand Prix to go to and be a part of. And I'm sure we're going to see something pretty spectacular again. Obviously, it's a temporary track. We've got the introduction of the sprint race and World Championship points being on the table for qualifying on Friday evening. So, yeah, plenty to look forward to in the Nerudovi in, just under a couple of weeks' time.
Calvin Tatum. Andy Calvin will be back on the TV. The next Eurosport and Discovery Plus action on TV is going to be on the 13th of May. So this next week is Bank Holiday Monday, so missing that one. And then the 13th of May will be the next one, and it'll be at Ollerton. Sheffield versus Ipswich will be the next fixture on Eurosport. Just a look at the Cab Direct Championship and update you on everything that's been going on there. Workington's 56-34 win over Scunthorpe on Sunday has put them in control of the northern section of the BSN series. The Comets now only need the aggregate point when the sides meet at the Eddie Wright Raceway to secure top spot and a place in the semi-finals. The most recent fixture, of course, against Scunthorpe at Workington, also gave Selina Lieberman her first win in British Speedway. So congratulations to her. And Tate Zischke, arguably performance of the week in the Cab Direct Championship, crashing out of Workington's defeat at Redcar on Friday, and then coming back swinging 48 hours later in Comics colours and getting a paid maximum 11+4, picking himself up off the canvas and going again. Elsewhere, Berwick star Drew Kemp crashed out of the Bandits BSN Series defeat at Edinburgh on Friday. He bounced back with a big home performance 24 hours later as well, again against the Scunthorpe Scorpions. Let's talk about Edinburgh, because they're building up a big Cab Direct Knockout Cup tie with Poole at Armadale on Friday, where 50 points will take them into the semi-finals. Exciting times potentially for the Monarchs, who kept it closer than many thought they would last week at Wimborne Road. The Monarchs worked hard to restrict the Pirates to a 49-40 win in that second leg, leaving the tie finally poised for the return. And they also got the better of Berwick in the BSN series as well. It was a close-run thing throughout the meeting, but then a coming together between Drew Kemp and Jai Etheridge, two teammates colliding, crashing out, and them having to withdraw from the rest of the meeting, certainly helped Edinburgh's cause, and Edinburgh taking maximum points on the night. Here's Edinburgh number one, Josh Pickering.
Very important to always win at home and show a bit of dominance there. Obviously, Berwick are going to be feeling a bit wounded, and they'll feel like that they lost because of that. But in my opinion, they could, you know, brought tacticals in. Denyon come in for a couple of reserve rides, which is riding well, and I think it still would have been the same result.
For the BSN series now, it's all down to the local derby. It sets it up perfectly for the home and away against Glasgow.
Yeah, right. To be honest with you, I don't really follow what fixtures are what. I just I see where I have to.
It's a local derby.
Yeah, I just see where I have to be, and I make sure I'm there. I don't know if it's a BSN fixture or a league fixture. I just rock up and race and try and do my job. But it was great to have the fans back here tonight, and good to get a win.
So let's have a look at the full fixture picture, and starting off a new month on Wednesday, May the 1st. New averages coming into force, of course, as well. So there might be one or two changes in the way that the teams come out. But got Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarterfinal action. Second leg, Oxford Cheetahs versus the Glasgow Tigers. And Glasgow have a reasonably healthy lead at halftime, 51-39. Cammy Brown warning against complacency, though. And Peter Schrock, well, he has to remind his side that the tie is far from over. You can watch that one live on BSN as well on Wednesday night. Also from the BSN series, we've got the Pool Pirates versus the Plymouth Gladiators, which has been postponed. So that has already been called. The weather on the south coast is not going to be great on Wednesday, so an early decision has been made to call that one off. So do not travel to that one this week if you're thinking of going and you haven't seen the news. Thursday then, back to Rome Motor Oil Premiership action. Kings Lynn Stars versus the Birmingham Brummies. Nikolai Clint making his debut for the Stars. Leicester Lions up against the Ipswich Witches. And the Sheffield Tigers host the Oxford Spires. All of those starting at 7:30. And then heading into a bank holiday weekend, really, Friday, Cab Direct Championship. Glasgow Tigers hosting the Workington Comets. And it's the Redcar Bears versus the Scunthorpe Scorpions. And in the Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarterfinal, we've got Edinburgh Monarchs versus the Pool Pirates. And as we're hearing, that one is very much on. Edinburgh will fancy their chances with that, keeping it just to 9 points. Pool might be slightly nervous. We'll see how that one pans out. Could be a fascinating twist. On Saturday, Cab Direct Championship, it's the Berwick Bandits versus the Pool Pirates at 7 o'clock. And we've also got action at 7 in the BSN series with the Plymouth Gladiators hosting the Oxford Cheetahs. That is just 2 points in it for the aggregate as well there. 44-46 in favour of Oxford. That one is live on BSN on Saturday night. Cab Direct Knockout Cup quarterfinal second leg. Workington Comets up against the Redcar Bears. Redcar getting a decent win last week. They were injury ravaged though, with Danny King crashing out, and he's going to face some time on the sidelines, having broken his hand as a result of that one. Then no action on Sunday, but Bank Holiday Monday has a few things going on. Road Motor All Premiership, we've got Bellevue Aces versus the Birmingham Brummies kicking off at 12 o'clock at the National Speedway Stadium. Ipswich Witches versus the Kings Lynn Stars gets underway at Foxhall at 2:15. And then in the evening, it's the Oxford Spires versus the Leicester Lions in the Road Motor All Premiership. That one live on BSN. And that pretty much takes us through the next week, because the following Wednesday, it's Oxford versus Poole, and it's starting at 8 o'clock, that one as well, because they've got greyhound racing, I think, during the day. So advance notice of that. But we'll be back next week with another update to bring you up to date with all of that action and much more besides as well. Enjoy your Speedway wherever you're heading. Don't forget to check out some of our previous episodes if you've missed them. Some of the news might be out of date, but the interviews in the middle are always good value as well. Last week we had Tom Brennan on, and of course he played a major part in helping Birmingham get their first win of the season. We've also recently spoken to Niels Christian Everson as well, and Kyle Howarth, just some of the previous guests. So check out the previous episodes, and don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss anything in the future. And we'll catch you next week on No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.